we are going to do the fourth Veritas presentation this morning. But before we do that, I want to take just a few minutes to acknowledge that this is national. You know what this is?
National Sunday.
Pro-life. Yeah, this is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And every year on the third Sunday, in the past few years on the third Sunday, I've done an exclusive presentation on the right to life. And I'm not going to do all of that again. We learned how to communicate the truth about the pro-life position, and we've learned how to pray for the pro-life position, and we need to keep doing that. And if you're interested, if you missed that last year or the year before, we've got a reign of terror going on here and have had for many decades, and we just must not get immune to it. We've got to stay in that battle, stay in that war. So I'll post links to some of those studies we did in the past years if you want to check those out. But I do want to read a passage of Scripture that relates to the sanctity of human life, and I do want to share just a bit of news about it. But this is from Psalm 106. It describes ancient Israel, but unfortunately it also describes modern America. Psalm 106, verse 36 is where I'm going to begin. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. And today in America we've got idols too. What are they? Yeah, you could just go on and on, couldn't you? A lot of our idols are our own selfish pleasure and our convenience and things like that. And verse 37, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the bloods of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean by their acts and played the whore in their deeds. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them into the hand of the nations, so that those who hated them ruled over them. It happened to them, and it can happen to us. And it may be happening to us in some ways already. But those of us who take God seriously about this scripture we just read know that we've got a battle to fight, guys. We've got a war going on, and we must stay in it. Just to illustrate what we're up against, I saw this just a couple of days ago, this news article. This is from Washington, D.C. A radio station removed the ad. Here's the report. Let me just read it to you. Susan B. Anthony, which is, of course, a real strong pro-life group. Susan B. Anthony list says Washington, D.C. radio station WTOP has pulled its paid-for ad off the air after receiving complaints from listeners. The National Pro-Life Organization's paid advertisement urges the redirection of taxpayer funds from abortion business Planned Parenthood to other federally qualified health care centers that provide more comprehensive care. And here's the script of the ad. It's very brief. It's a fact. This is what was broadcast on the radio briefly. It's a fact. Planned Parenthood is America's largest abortion business. Nearly a million abortions in the last 3 years. Its executives were caught on tape bragging about selling baby body parts. Under federal investigation, Planned Parenthood spent $30 million last election on political activism, not women's health care. It's time for Congress to act. It's time to redirect Planned Parenthood's funding to community health centers that provide comprehensive health care to women, not abortions, paid for by Susan B. Anthony List. Well, that was apparently too much for a lot of sensitive ears in Washington, D.C., so they pulled it very quickly. That just happened this past week. Just kind of reminds us, we're still in a war, guys. We're still in a war. But on the positive side, and I thought I would share this briefly, I read an article that listed 10 encouraging things that happened in 2016, and I thought I'd take just a minute to share them with you. This is from an article by Dr. Susan Berry. It was posted at Breitbart a couple of weeks ago. First thing she said that was encouraging, 4 additional states, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and West Virginia, banned dismemberment abortion this year. I think that makes 6 altogether. Kansas and Oklahoma has also voted on that. In some cases, the courts are blocking it. No surprise there, but at least those laws are being passed in some states. Here's the second one. 3 additional states, Ohio, South Carolina, and South Dakota, passed the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, a measure that bans abortion past the 5th month of pregnancy. Altogether, I think that means we have 19 states that have passed that law so far. Tennessee is not one of them. It was introduced in Tennessee last year. I think it was last year. And I don't think it ever came to a vote. I think it got buried in committee or something. I don't know how they do that sort of stuff. But at this point, I think there's at least a good possibility that the federal government might pass a similar law now. So we need to be praying for that. The third thing she mentioned that was encouraging, Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton painted a sharp contrast between herself and Republican nominee Donald Trump when she was forced to defend her position that babies can be aborted up until their due date. when Fox News debate host Chris Wallace questions her on the issue. And by the way, in 2016, I started hearing an argument that I hadn't heard before. Some of you may have. And I heard it, at least two or three people have actually given this argument to me face to face. And their argument was that pro-life people should vote for Hillary because they said she's more likely to create a culture and an economic situation where parents would not see the need to abort their babies. Now, that was the logic. And I said to these people who said it to my face, I said, you know what, I really don't want to sound harsh and I don't want to sound ugly to you, but to my ears, that's like saying, it's the same thing as saying, I think we should try to reduce the number of parents who feel for economic reasons that they've got to kill their four-year-olds. Now, I don't think we ought to make it illegal because we need to give those, consider the needs of those parents, but we ought to create a situation so they wouldn't feel the need to kill so many of them. And I think that's just insane. You know, it's just incredible. So we've got to learn to make these kind of arguments. They're still going to be going on. The fourth thing she mentioned is pro-life candidates had a winning year in the 2016 congressional elections. National Right to Life notes that it realized 10 victories in the U.S. Senate, only 2 losses, 39 wins in the U.S. House, only 8 losses. The fifth thing she mentioned, the nation's largest abortion chain, Planned Parenthood, spent at least $30 million attempting to elect pro-abortion Democrats. The organization was unable to win the White House, even with a head start after endorsing Hillary Clinton in the primary, which they'd never done anything like that before. Sixth thing she mentioned, the U.S. House and Senate sent a reconciliation bill to President Obama that would have defunded Planned Parenthood. As expected, Obama vetoed the measure, but its approval by Congress set a precedent for the advancing the legislation with a new pro-life president in the White House. Seventh thing she mentioned, the U.S. Senate held off its vote on President Obama's appointment of pro-abortion Merrick Garland to the U.S. Supreme Court to fill the seat of late Justice Antonin Scalia. And by the way, whatever you think of Mitch McConnell, and he may have done and said some things that you wish he hadn't, but we need to be thankful that he did not let that vote come to the floor. And he didn't let Merrick Garland get in on Supreme Court. Anyway, President-elect Trump's promised to appoint pro-life justices, so we'll see. The eighth thing she mentioned is North Carolina U.S. Representative Renee Elmers was defeated in the GOP primary. Elmers came to Congress in the 2010 Tea Party wave, but abandoned her conservative principles after her election. That's happened before. She led a charge to shelve the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act in 2015 on the eve of the March for Life and justified her opposition by saying the measure would negatively affect the GOP with women and millennial voters. And then Doug Johnson, who's the director of federal legislation for National Right to Life, said this about her. He said, there's no member of Congress in recent memory who did greater harm to a major piece of pro-life legislation while claiming to be pro-life than Renee Elmers. And she was defeated in the primary, so that's an encouraging thing. The ninth encouraging thing, the Senate Judiciary Committee referred Planned Parenthood to both the FBI and the Justice Department for investigation and possible criminal prosecution following allegations the abortion chain and its partners in biomedical procurement have been harvesting the body parts of aborted babies and selling them for profit. You know all about that. But at least they're pushing that. And the tenth encouraging thing, the House Select Investigative Panel on Infant Lives referred Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, that's in Texas, for criminal prosecution by the Texas Attorney General. The panel ultimately made 15 criminal and regulatory referrals of abortion clinics and fetal tissue procurement companies to federal, state, and local authorities for further investigation into possible violations of the law. And those are things we need to be thankful for, guys. I mean, there are encouraging things happening, but we must not get lulled into complacency. Yeah, we must not. There is a battle being fought. It's still being fought. There's a lot of work to be done, and a lot of it is just person to person, one on one, with neighbors, friends, people we wind up talking to about these things. And we need to know how to communicate the truth about the abortion problem and life. And it's confusing. You know, I mentioned a while ago some of the people that have given this confusing argument, but there is a lot of obfuscation in higher levels and, of course, political levels and media levels. There are many, many people who are just interested in obfuscating this because they're just determined to push the abortion issue. So I gave some extensive points last year of how we can deal with that. I'll post a link to that if you're interested. We'll check it out.